Also this morning, I would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also this morning, we want to give glory to the Lord, singing one or two songs from this booklet here. We start with singing the song 21, Rock of Salvation. We sing 26 now, number 26.
Thank you.
I believe we cannot imagine how it is when we will enter there, as we sang it. Before Brother Schmidt will pray with us, I would like to read us a couple of words from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 from verse 57. Psalm 119 from verse 57. We would like to stand up for it. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Let us pray. We have a serious prayer request this morning. At 7 o'clock this morning, I received a phone call. They were listening last night. Also what we heard last night. And one sister is very sick. We would like to remember her in our prayer. Heavenly Father, we are coming to you in this hour, and we say thanks to you that we can look up to you and confessing that that your words are true, and we want to obey them by looking up to you, the living God, thanking you already for the word which you have given us. For your word, Lord, is the bread of life which has come down from heaven. Lord, we ask you, prepare us a table. Lord in heaven, give us food which we can eat. Strengthen our spirit, Lord. Strengthen our deeds and our walk in all ways. I thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come to you with all our troubles, with all our needs, O God. So we include now this prayer for this sister. You alone are the one who answers all the requests. We ask you not only for this sister, but for all who are in trouble, who are in need, who are somewhere. You know all their needs. You know what everyone needs. But in particular, we ask you to stretch forth thine hand, bless, heal, and sanctify for the glory of your name. Lord, we ask you also, give thy word, anoint the lips through which you will speak. And we want to receive it in our hearts and want to praise you for it. Our God, who is above everything, to you alone, Christ Jesus, we say thanks. Amen. Amen. Lord, give me the power. Lord, speak to me. Let us. Let us sing chorus number one together. Let us sing. They come from the east and west. Chorus number one. perhaps also number 12. Every day with Jesus is nicer than the day before. Amen. You may be seated. Also today, we have greetings from many countries, from many brothers, from Brother Paul, from Nairobi, Brother Rigobert, from Benin, and from our beloved Brother Müller from Austria, from Brother Lotika from Johannesburg, from Brother Joseph from Kinshasa, from Brother Kofi, Brother Erwin from Lyon, from Brother Moses from the USA. We have just the cordial greetings, received them. They're all tuned in, and they're happy together with us, happy about the word of the Lord. Then we have greetings from Brother Pare, from Brother Patti, especially from the congregation from Abidjan, of which we have heard last night, that God has done great things and many hearts He touched, and also the press and the news agencies, they were touched, and the country was acquainted with the message. Also, this is very important. And then, special greetings from our brethren from Burkina Faso. There, the brothers told me, since 7 years, we were praying sincerely that you will come into our country. And when it then happened, then the joy was really very, very great. And we thank the Lord. Finally, we are, after all, we are carriers of the divine message, carrier of the Word of God, which remains forever. And then it's still valid. He who hears you, hears me. And whoever receives you, receives him who sent me. A divine sending is and remains God's matter. Nobody was imagining it. Nobody was praying for it. It's just given to them who are ordained for it. Then we have our brethren today here in our midst. Brother Eli, perhaps he stands up so that all can see him. Our brother Eli, please stand up so that all can see you. God bless you, in particular, in our midst. Then Brother George, Brother George, God bless you in our midst. This is that brother who accompanied me through 4 countries of East Africa. And together we had the privilege to experience how thousands heard the word of the Lord. Then we have our brother Nazir in our midst. God bless you in a special way. We are just so grateful for all brothers in all the countries, in all the languages which are making themselves available for God to preach the word. Then we have Jean-Marc in our midst. God bless you from the riches of his grace. Who else? Whom else didn't we call? All who are here, we just welcome all. Brother Gilbert, we all know him. Him we will ask to once again pray with us. And today, I will also ask Brother Kramer to pray with us. Brother Kramer was one of the first who met me 1958, exactly 50 years ago. We met each other in the city of Heidelberg. He heard me preach exactly 50 years ago in Heidelberg. Yes. And the Lord, in all these years, he was with him. We welcome all from all neighboring countries, from all over the world. We have just the great privilege that we can still gather in freedom. Also for this, we are very grateful to God. After the prayer, we ask the couple to come to the front. They gave me the English request to dedicate their child. We ask them that they come to the front and that we will make the child dedication. Now we stand up and Brother Gilbert comes and Brother Kramer comes to once again lay this service before the Lord. Will you pray? Brother Kramer, the Lord God bless you in a special way. Faithful Father in heaven, in Jesus' holy name, we thank you that we can gather here in your holy name. You have blessed us from our childhood, and for this I thank you. I thank you also. That is like with Brother Frank, it's like with Brother Paul, that there's a need for him to preach the word. He has to do it. One hears so many wrong and false things, but here the truth is being preached. God speaks through our brother, through his word. Thy word is the truth, and thy word will not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your words, Lord Jesus, shall not pass away. Amen. Beloved Lord, your word says you are already pure because of the word which I have spoken to you. We ask you, give us this morning again your word. For we say, as written, our part is to obey your word. May this happen this morning, what happened already in the days of Paul.
La Bible dit que c'est Dieu qui ouvrit le cœur de Lydie afin qu'elle puisse entendre ce que disait Paul.
And that you opened the hearts of those to whom Paul could write and speak. Beloved Lord, open the heart of each one of us so that we receive what you have prepared for us today. For you have prepared the table from which we can eat. Lord, it is your pure word which we require and which is being proclaimed at this place.
Que toi tu puisses poser dans nos cœurs, Seigneur, ta semence divine.
We thank you for the privilege and we ask you, give us the right divine attitude before you, toward you. For you said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which comes from the mouth of God. Lord, we are your inheritance. And we surrender fully this morning into your hands. So that you can address your words through thy servant. For we see of what's all about in this time in which we have arrived now. Thy word, O Lord, gives us the right orientation. We thank you for it, for your word is the truth.
Ta vérité qui délivre, qui libère, qui affranchit. Seigneur, que tu puisses exécuter ton action ce matin.
And it's of course your word which comes to us, which has the power to accomplish in us for what it was sent for. May no one leave this place as he came. May your word fall in their hearts, Lord. Take the responsibility from each one who is here today.
Et que tout soit soumis dans le nom du Seigneur Jésus-Christ.
And may all, also the spirits, be submissive unto you, so that you alone come to your right.
Seigneur, fortifie et secoue le canal que tu utilises, notre frère Frank.
Strengthen the channel through which you would like to speak, our beloved brother Frank. For you have given this mandate in this end time. For you want that we hear that, what is necessary for the preparation of the bride church. We thank you that you are on the throne to complete, and you will complete your work. Give us your word, O Lord. We are in expectation, and we thank you with all our hearts for it. Amen. You may... One moment, the couple is here. Then we can bless. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. Then we have now the child dedication.
Dear Lord, we are in your presence and we ask your blessings upon this child. Bless the parents, bless the child, and in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we dedicate this child to you, the Almighty God. Receive it. And bless the whole family. We just thank you, dear Lord, and pray that your blessings may rest upon this child and upon this family. In Jesus' holy name, amen. 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 God bless you. Noch ein Chorus, Herr, schenkt mir die
Lord, give me the power. Let us sing. You may be seated. Now two announcements. The first one, God willing, and if the Lord has not come yet, it was suggested that we once again will make an Israel trip. Perhaps from the 13th to the 24th of April. And then we had visit from a kind gentleman from Turkey, a very fine tourist guide. And he asked whether with us would be people who would have an interest in to travel 1 week through the cities which are mentioned in the book of Revelation, beginning with Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamon, up to Laodicea, to spend 1 week traveling through Turkey to visit all these sites and places. The places where our brothers and sisters at that time dwelt, hearing the word. We would be happy if there would be interest that we would hear from you in this regard. Beloved, it's just always about that God comes to his right with us, that his will might happen by his grace, and that we at this place really have the responsibility to only say that what God said already in his word, and also to emphasize if it is about earthly things, then each one can decide for himself freely where one stays, what kind of work is done, what kind of job, what kind of eating, what kind of food, and what kind of drinks is being drink. This everyone can decide for himself personally. It is about that those things which God has written in his word for us, that we obey them concerning the apostles' decision. It is written in the book of Acts, chapter 15, from verse 27 up to 29. Acts, chapter 15, from verse 27 to 29. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. And to this, we have not to add one sentence, not one commandment we have to add here. This is enough for us. And each one can eat and drink what he likes, whatever he has appetite for. Now, concerning the spiritual things, we have it in Romans, chapter 9. Romans, chapter 9, in verse 28. The tremendous, all-including words. Romans 9, verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And then we have, really, the task to pass on the pure biblical proclamation, to defend it, and to take care of it over all the earth, that all are brought in line with the word and the will of God. And it must start, and this may all ministering brethren hear it. It has to start among the ministering brethren, that the unity in the church can come to pass. Only if among the ministering brethren is the unity in the Spirit and the unity in the proclamation, then it can be manifested in the church. We, of course, had the phone call from a sister. She asked, Brother Frank, for how long shall the church live under the difficulties which the preachers have among themselves? How long shall she suffer? For how long? How long shall the church suffer under the difficulties which the preachers are causing? Because they would like to be something. Because they want to know something. They want to be something. Whoever reads 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, whoever reads Ephesians 4 from verse 11, he will find out that God has set the various ministries into the church, and it just belongs to it. that we understand that the restoration, which of course has come through the promised ministry, which has given to us, that it is not a theory about which we then will philosophize, but it is connected with a divine reality, namely that the New Testament church is being brought back, that everything is being restored, all the ministries, all the gifts, all the fruits of the Spirit, divinely put in order by God Himself in each one of us, and then also in the universal church. If we come back to the ministry of Brother Branham, we have to go into detail. Brothers and sisters, you cannot even imagine what it costed him to put the biblical truths upon the lampstand and to be in opposition to all the others, all the, about the Godhead, about baptism. In fact, all biblical doctrines had to be proclaimed anew, because all of Christendom, and let it be complained to God, also the revivals which happened since the days of Reformation, mighty revivals, real workings of the Holy Spirit, true workings, but the doctrines were not restored. Gifts were restored, but by the ministry of Brother Branham, the word had to come forth anew, the same word as it came forth from Mount Zion, from Jerusalem. By this he made himself an enemy to all who are remained in the Trinity doctrine, Trinity baptism, in the Nicene Creed, all who remained there. But he made himself a friend with those who obeyed the call of God, who have given their ear to hear what the Spirit says now unto the churches. It were the preachers who didn't even want to receive it if he told the sisters her right places. And let us be honest now. No sister can receive that what Paul said, except she has died with Christ and has risen with him unto a new life. If not, then the rebellion, the opposition, will always come forth again and again. And whoever reads now the theology of the women preachers, it's unbelievable how Paul is so vilified, and how also it was said that Brother Branham, that he would be a woman hater, as also Paul was. But now, we will not go into detail now. We will not spend time with it. But not just to show you of what it is about now. And then, you know then how well God means with the sisters. Nobody can make me believe that that God didn't mean well with the church and with the church order. And God, of course, knew that everything has come out of order and all are going their own ways. What is wrong with it if Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11 he writes, in verse 3 he writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." And then the apostle comes to the statement in verse 8, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man." Let us go back to the Garden of Eden. Let us go to the cross of Calvary. Was Adam taken out from Eve, or was Eve taken out from Adam? Was the Redeemer taken out of the church, or was the church taken out from the Redeemer? When his side on the cross of Calvary, it was opened and the blood gushed forth for our redemption and reconciliation. If Paul uses such scriptures in our mind, in the will and program of God, one has to be to recognize why did he write what he wrote. And then, if it is revealed to us in the divine order by his grace, then every problem is solved and nobody needs to get upset. Even to the point which Paul emphasizes here, that the long hair is given to the sisters as a covering. And the same Paul says, if a man has long hair, then it is a shame for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Just put into a divine order, no opposition, no rebellion, but an inner agreement to that what God has said. All the evangelists, they rebuked Brother Branham. They told him, "You are destroying the ministry which God has given you." They told him, "You should teach the sisters how they should use and operate the gifts of the Spirit, but not that what you are always rebuking them for." And then Brother Branham said, in simplicity he said, "How can I teach them algebra if they don't even know their little ABC?" And then Brother Branham comes to that, because it was about the gifts of the Spirit, he said that the man can be even anointed with the same Holy Spirit in the second realm. He can be anointed, and deep on the inside of the soul, he is not even saved and born again. And this is also written in the sermon of which I was reading last night, the rapture. And then we have to become silent and we have to ask, "Lord, what do you want to tell me by this?" I showed you yesterday the man which is now on the scene and who claims to have a special commission, a special sending, and not even thinks about to take the word of God with him. As we read it, the Bible is secondly, but the anointing is emphasized. And this brings us then to Matthew 24, where many false Christs, false, but yet anointed. We cannot even understand it properly. Leave alone, we can explain it. But both is growing on the same field. The enemy didn't sow his seed on a different field. No, as written in Matthew 13, when the people slept, the enemy came and sowed the tares among the wheat, and both came up, and both grows until the harvest, and both receives the same rain. As Brother Branham, it was shown to him years ago, he laid down the Bible, and the wind opened it up three times on Hebrews 6. He read it, and he closed the Bible again. And the wind, the second time, it blew the Bible open to Hebrews chapter 6 of the rain which falls down. And then he preached about it. Brothers and sisters, not on the gifts, but by their fruits ye shall know them. And it is still written, thou hast tried those who called themselves to be apostles and found them to be liars. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. Not the claim, but the trying, the testing, whether that what is being done and what is being taught, whether it agrees with God and His Word, with the original proclamation which came forth from Jerusalem. Now, just a few scriptures which show us, just to finish the subject of justification, about that, really one could read more than 30 scriptures in which Paul, especially also Peter, lines out this thought of the full justification, of the full forgiveness, grace and salvation. In Romans, chapter 8, we have the wonderful verses which give us teaching about, and more than that, an absolute assurance of faith they give us, where there's no room for any doubt. It's not possible to doubt. Romans, chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Justified by the faith in Jesus Christ, justified by the blood which was shed on the cross of Calvary. As sure as the blood of the Lamb of God was shed, so sure we are redeemed, justified in the sight of God. Yes, already brought to our destination. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If now really something happens which we didn't plan, which we didn't want to do, then Christ is the high priest in the sight of God. And the blood of the Lamb remains, of course, upon the mercy seat until the last one is called, is saved, and until we together experience the completion. Then, once again, in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What can separate us? Forever we are joined with God. The eternal life we received by His grace. And all who received, or all who have eternal life, they will live eternally. And our Lord says, nobody can pluck them out of my hand. And he can say, here am I, and all whom God has given me. The death of Jesus Christ was worthwhile for all sons and daughters of God who let themselves be saved. In Romans 8, the verses from verse 28, Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah! Blessed and praised be the Lord our God. In the Old Testament, it was a promise. In the New Testament, we have the fulfillment. Now, verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. Did you hear it? Predestinated, called, justified. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord our God. A full redemption God has given us by His grace, forever perfected. And we are transferred into the image of Jesus Christ at the return of our Lord. Now, two or three scriptures which speak of the new birth. And this mainly because to show us that from God's point of view, the connection on our inside has to be established to Him. From our nature, the man has nothing in himself. All are begotten in sin, are born in sin, separated from God. They have come into this world. And therefore, Romans chapter 5, God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. But let us come to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Here we read verse
3,
and then also the verses 22 and 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As sure as the Lamb of God, the Son of God, died on the cross of Calvary, as he shed his blood and life for our salvation, for our reconciliation and forgiveness, so sure we have the guarantee for our new birth by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Buried was a mortal body, risen was a immortal body. Death, where's your sting? Hell, where's your victory? Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord, writes Paul in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Here, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, please, let us read reverently, addressed to us the words here, that we hear them, that we believe them. Brother Kupfer, he told me this morning, and also yesterday he told me, if we hear, when we hear, when God speaks, when we hear, then God speaks. And if we do accordingly, then God acts. Is this clear enough? Did you understand this? If we hear, then God speaks with us. If we do accordingly what God has said, then God acts in a supernatural way in our lives. And so we have it here. In 1 Peter, in chapter 1, from verse 22, please believe it. Believe it for yourselves. Receive it as the truth. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do we have an amen to it? It has happened with us. God has given grace for it, that our hearts, our souls, in the obeying of the truth, in disobedience, nothing is possible, but in obedience, everything is possible. And therefore, God has called us to obey the truth. He purified us. He sanctified us. And he ordained us for a love, unfeigned, purified. And then the command, love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Has not our Lord said, thereby the world will recognize that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Love gives, and he doesn't get poor by it, he gets richer by it. If we give something, then we have lost money and the gift, yes. But if God gives us something, then both remains to us. Because by this we get richer. And here it says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Durch das lebendige und ewig bleibende Wort Gottes.
Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to believe this word personally, believe it as the truth, and not only reading it with your heart, but to thank the Lord for it, and to say, this has happened with me. I have received the seed of the Word of God. And this divine seed has come up in me. And I am born again because of this divine seed, to the living and forever abiding word. Do you all have an amen to it? Our brothers to my right side, they of course are tuned in on the inside. And perhaps we don't have this mentality. But go with it in your heart. Do have an inner agreement to the Word of God. And just say, beloved Lord, as it is written here, so it is. So it has happened with me. And I tell you also, I also tell you why. And the proof is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, and many other scriptures. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, because they must be discerned spiritually. Why do you understand it? Why do you receive access to it? To the greatest and deepest mysteries of God. Why? Why was the message revealed to you? Why? Because the word which was preached is in your heart, and the Holy Spirit reveals the preached and taught word. He revealed it to you personally by your grace. And then it is no more the message of Paul or that of Brother Branham. Then it is the divine message which is addressed to all of us. And then we recognize that God always used the mouth of man, that he has spoken out commissions, that he has given sendings, so that his plan of salvation could be preached. Please receive it. Believe it. And may it be given to you in a full portion. I read verse 23 again. And I ask all, and even you are silent, to say amen to it. Just to confirm it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Just say amen.
Amen. Und nochmals Amen. Nämlich nicht
namely not being born of ourselves, but as written here, by the living word, by the forever abiding word of God. And then the man of God comes to the word from Isaiah 40, and he writes, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever." And then comes the glorious. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word which was at the beginning, as the gospel is preached, the word which as the divine seed has laid, was laid into us, so that the new birth by the Spirit can even take place. And many times we have said it here before. How did the word become flesh? How? The promise was given to Mary. She received the word, and the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And that what was born of her was called the Son of God. And that's what he was. God manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, as Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 3. So, the Word of God remains forever. And the Word is the gospel which we preached unto you. Let us read to it also from Galatians, or perhaps first from James, chapter 1, James, chapter 1, and here it is verse 18, James 1, verse 18, of his own will, no force, of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Jesus Christ, the firstborn, begotten by the Spirit of God according to the flesh. He was already Lord from the very beginning. You can read it in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, when the scribes told him, "You want to have seen Abraham?" And our Lord, he gave the right answer here. Let us read it quickly, so that all know that the Lord of the New Testament, of the New Covenant, is the same as the Lord of the Old Covenant. In the Old Testament, his name was Yahweh, the eternal in himself existing one. In the New Testament, his name is Yahshua, namely Yahweh, Savior. Another time we'll speak about it. But here, there's the Hebrew word, a Savior, which is built in God, aha, namely Yahweh. In the Old Testament, another time we will mention it, but we will not come into detail. Now, let me read from John, chapter 8. Firstly, from verse 30. John 8, verse 30 and
32.
Before we read verse 56 and 58, John 8, from verse
30.
As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. A very important statement, not directed to all Jews, but to those who believed on him, who received his word, who received him. To them he is addressing these words. If ye abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This verse, actually, it should be mentioned in every circular letter, written in capital letters, in bold letters. If ye abide in my word, if ye abide in my truth, then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We, of course, have the task not only to walk the narrow way of salvation, not only to preach salvation, healing, and justification, conversion, new birth, baptism, everything that belongs to it. We also have the task to stand for the word of truth in the sight of our God. And I say this really with great pain of what all was done with the statements of Brother Branham. What kind of strange doctrines were invented. It really cries up to heaven. Especially when one says there are 27 different thunder doctrines, and then I have to say, and no one of them comes from God, and no one of them is right. Then, yes, then of course comes the moment where brothers who are following Branham, but who are not ready to follow Jesus Christ, who are not ready to take the word of God as the final authority, as the absolute. They just say then, all over the world they say, Brother Frank is against the prophet. He doesn't say that, what he said. Don't you worry. I'm writing it now in the circular letter. Alone by grace. I didn't misunderstand one single statement of Brother Branham. I also didn't misunderstand one single scripture, because I put the message and I have to put the message and the word on one common denominator, and I don't accept any opposition. Everything could be set into a divine harmony. Everything was put in order. And then comes the responsibility which nobody of you can actually understand and comprehend what I have. The responsibility with a connected with a commission to go from city to city to preach the Word of God. Not to interpret it. Neither interpret the Scripture nor that what Brother Branham said. But to preach the same word as it is left to us in the Holy Scripture. I have to mention it time and again. Even I don't like it so much, but I have to. If one has direct experiences, direct instructions and guidings, if one experienced them personally, also concerning the preaching of the Word, I've said it here before, perhaps many times I said it. At that time in Marseille, for the first time I was asked the question about the seven thunders. The question was given to me of brothers from Armenia. I had to say them. Tell them, I don't know it. I said goodbye, and I went up the steps, and then in this little room, I stayed overnight. And behold, the next morning, I have today still the same watch. Today, I have still the same wristwatch. It's a watch which always, it runs always, it doesn't need any battery. And then, when I looked upon this watch, after this mighty experience, it was 5 minutes before five in the morning. But nobody of you can imagine with what kind of force the voice of the Lord sounds forth. It goes through all your bones and marrow. And then when the Lord told me, my servant, get up and read 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to speak to you. I read 2 Timothy 4 from verse 1 up to 5. Then I started again with verse 1. I command thee in the sight of God, who will one day judge the living and the dead, preach the word, be it in season or out of season. You all know, 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come where they will not endure the sound doctrine. They will heap upon themselves teachers upon teachers, which are preaching that what the people like to hear, have itching ears. And then the commandment, preach the word. And then that what the seven thunders uttered was not written down. It didn't become a part of the word of God and will never be preached. And now I stand in opposition to all the brothers within the message. Doesn't matter in what kind of directions they are going. And I'm a bit laughing now, but to this I could say, as Paul in 1 Thessalonians, he said, this I say as a word of the Lord. As a word of the Lord. And if somebody worldwide means that he has the revelation of the seven thunders, such a man is in error. He was misled. He really lost the orientation. If the voice comes down from heaven in Revelation 10, and when the command goes forth, write not what the seven thunders uttered. Now what then? In chapter 1, he was commanded to write everything down, what he would see and what he will hear. And then he would send it to the seven churches. And now he is told from heaven, seal up what the seven voices of the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And then one has to go to Revelation 1, verse 3, where it says, blessed is he who reads and who are hearing the words of this prophecy and who are keeping those things which are written therein. For me, God's word remains forever. God's word remains forever. And if we lay forth these things, then we are misunderstood. We are not understood by those who don't respect the word. God has given us the reverence into our hearts. And as we read, in Peter we read, that we received the word of the seed of the word, and we were born again unto a living hope, as sure as Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I say it once again, this is the divine connection from him to us and from us to him. By the word and by the spirit, because we received the word as a divine seed in us. All who receive an interpretation in them, they will not have the connection anymore to the word. Whoever has or finds the connection to the interpretation loses it to God. And whoever has the connection to God and his word, he doesn't bother anymore about any single interpretation. One special statement which really touched me, I, of course, in the next circular letter, just a small photograph I want to put there, a very little photograph with the five sermons which Brother Branham gave me in 1958. And he said, you will return with this message to Germany. On this zebra skin, and Brother Branham shot this zebra himself as a hunter. He shot it. And at the last prayer, 1965, one brother was also standing on this skin, on which Brother Branham was praying the last prayer to the throne of God. He was very sad that he was not allowed to preach, and he was asking that God would make a way for him, that the message would come into this country. And this brother, Sidney Jackson, who made all these meetings, he reminded me, on this skin they were standing when Brother Branham prayed. And one of these brothers, who were standing also on this skin at the last prayer, he told me then, in Johannesburg, he told me, Brother Frank, you are not preaching the message. And my question was, Why not? And his answer was, because you don't preach the seven thunders, because the seven thunders are the message. I really felt otherwise. I just asked, tell me, what is the revelation of the seven thunders? And he said, this is a mystery. And when I asked him, what is the mystery? Then he said, that's a deep revelation. When I asked him, what is this revelation? I really had no other choice. But under tears, I had to leave my half cup of tea. I left it there. And I asked my brother Witt, the uncle of our two brothers who are sitting here, I asked him to bring me back to my hotel. Brothers and sisters, one can have prayed with Brother Branham. One could have hunted and gone fishing with him. And one could be together with him in meetings. Our connection is not to the man. Our connection is to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the Word of God remains forever. And therefore, just receive it. Accept it. Many things should still be said. Let us summarize of what is about now. God wants to restore everything. He wants to put it into the right order in each one personally, in the church. There shall be an atmosphere coming up, an atmosphere in which God feels at home. Where's the word in the prophet Isaiah? That God will honor the place where his feet are resting. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 13, last part. Isaiah 60, the last part from verse 13. For I will honor the site where my feet are resting. The sons of thy oppressors shall come to you, and all your despisers, they shall come to your feet, and they shall call you the... I lost the scripture. The Lord God will take care for it. We will not be disappointed. But as we read in Romans, that the Lord himself will bring his work to completion. Let us read it once again. Romans chapter 9, verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. To this, no prophet has to rise. And we don't want to go into details here. We just thank God for the clear and pure orientation in his word. We thank God that not a single time we had the will to put up some kind of doctrine or revelation in which we could be made famous. Not a single time in all these years we have, also here as brothers at this place, and also other brothers in all the world, not a single time. We carried always the pure word. We sowed the pure divine seed, and all who are ordained for eternal life, they receive the word. And as we read, Receive it as a divine fact. We are born again unto a living hope by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. No one of us would have had access to the mysteries of God. No. Because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. As sure as God has sent his prophets and also Brother Branham, he could use him to reveal unto him the whole counsel of God. So sure God has given to you and me the grace to understand and to believe the whole counsel of God and to get it revealed. Now just be honest. Is there one question left? No. All questions are answered. And the Lord will continue to lead us from clarity to clarity until we are completed. Until we stand completed in the sight of God. In the moment, we are still carrying the precious seed. And when the last one was called, then the Lord will rise and he will complete his work. The redemption work he will complete as he completed his creation work. And we have the guarantee that we will experience it by his grace. To him, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor for the leading of his Holy Spirit, for the taking us into the Word, into the plan of salvation, into the mysteries. Thanking for the overall view as it was never revealed before. Your ears, your hearts and eyes, they are blessed, for they see and they hear and they believe what God has revealed unto us in this time. Now, a last word to all who wish to be baptized. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Since the day of Pentecost, since the founding day of the New Testament Church, all who were converted, all who repented, and all who believed, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we also baptize in accordance with the doctrine and practice of the apostles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In which God revealed himself to us as Father in heaven, in his only begotten Son on this earth, and in the church by the Holy Spirit. God above us, God with us, God in us. Three revelations of the same God to complete his own plan of salvation, to complete it, and to include us into it. To him, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor, glory and adoration, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand up, and perhaps let us sing, Lord, speak to me. Is this the chorus?
Yeah.
If the Lord has spoken to us by His Word, then just say Amen to it. If you believe that He has given us the power, just say Amen. If you believe that His Word as the seed has fallen into us, say Amen. And if you believe that by this we are born again, not only will be, say Amen. Blessed and praised be the Lord, the Almighty God. Before we pray, let me ask whether some special requests are in our midst. Perhaps of our brothers and sisters and friends from the neighboring countries, from our country, wherever it might be, don't take any burden with you when you go home. As the songwriter sings, every burden you may cast upon Jesus. You can trust Him as a friend. He gives victory. He gives blessing. And you will see the answer. God answers prayers. We have the promise where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. And whatever we ask for, this shall be granted to us. As we all bow our heads and as we remain in silent prayer, let me ask, who has some kind of request? Raise your hand. Yes, indeed, all over are special requests. Who hasn't got it? We are all living here on this earth. And the circumstances are not getting better, they're getting worse. All over, be it in the everyday life, wherever it might be, there are troubles. And let us be honest, also in all the families, in all the marriages, all over. That's how it never was before. Never it was like this on the earth. Never. Also in our country, every third marriage is divorced. Same-sex marriages are being dedicated. This one has to imagine. Sodom and Gomorrah is amongst us. The divine order, also in the earthly realm, went overboard. As in the days of Noah, as in Genesis 6, it is written there, the people didn't let themselves be rebuked by the Spirit of God. Everything was too late, so that God decided, and He said, I will make an end to all of it. And then God made a new beginning. Oh, how much sorrow! How much sorrow would have been spared to mankind if one would have if one wouldn't go to the lawyer. With God, all things are possible. But we have to turn to Him. We have to turn to Him. And that's what's all about. Whoever has marriage problems, whoever takes it into his own hands, and whoever tears apart the bed so that the feathers are blown into all directions by the wind, and whoever then goes even to the lawyer, I don't know what God will say on the day of judgment. Actually, I don't want to be present at this sentence, but to you as my friends, as my brothers and my sisters. I can say it to you now. The most difficult way which a man has to walk on this earth is when the first letter comes from the lawyer. Yes. This way, which one walks from this day on, from the 9th of February 1981, this way which I had to walk is a way which no man wishes to anyone. The Lord God has given me the grace that I could take everything for the sake of the Word of God, for the sake of the divine message, to carry it on. And to you, my friends, to you, my brothers and sisters, I thank you in the name of the Lord. For you, there's no way too far, no price is too high for you to come here and to hear God's word. May God bless you. And I guarantee you, the word of the Lord shall not return void, but it will accomplish in all of us for that what God has sent it for. And we are crying out, Jesus is the victor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us raise once again our hands. Let us raise our hands. Let us pray together. Lord, Almighty God, we thank you with all our hearts for your faithfulness, for all the promises which you have given in your word. Faithful God, hear us now. Bless all. Save, heal. Give grace so that all problems, all trials are that all tests can be stand, can have thy own way and manifest your victory of Calvary in all our lives. Make everything well, O Lord. We praise you. We are glorifying you. We are thanking you for the power of your blood, of your word, and of your spirit. And we thank thee already now for the completion of your church. We thank you for the calling out, for the preparation, and we thank you already now for the completion. And all the people say, Amen. He who started, he will also finish. Victoriously he will finish unto the day of his return. Don't look to the trials. Don't look on the circumstances. Not looking on you. Not looking on others. Look to the Lord. And he will make all things well. Be blessed with the blessing of the Almighty God, who accompanies you and us, who we are walking in obedience of his word, walking in his ways, doing his will. If we are all ready for it, let us say once again, Amen. And then we can be of good comfort. We can refer to Hebrews 10, that we, in our Redeemer, by the offering of his body, we once for all were sanctified and we were brought unto our destination. Just say amen to it.
Amen.
Once again, amen. Let us sing Amen,
Halleluja. Amen.
Let me ask whether we have some who want to be baptized. Who likes to be baptized? Would you raise your hand? One, two, three. Brother Schmidt says, please come to the front. Please come to the front. Yes, there are some. Come please to the front. Those who want to be baptized, please come to the front. Do you have a song in the Russian language ready? Not yet. Okay. All right. Please come, precious sisters and brothers. Here to the front. Precious sister, the Lord God bless you. God bless you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Perhaps the sisters have a song. Perhaps only three stanzas. And then we will go to baptism. You all speak German? Do you speak German?
Pardon?
Frère Küpfer, please.
Ihr habt...
How old are you, young man?
12.
God bless you. Also therein,
from
the very beginning, somehow I have the leading of the Lord, because he, at the age of 12, he was in the temple, speaking with the scribes. So from the very beginning, on my inside, I had the leading from the age of 12 to baptize, where also young people are taking responsibility for themselves. And they are not just baptized because the parents like it. No, because of his own decision, they dedicated their life to the Lord, being baptized. I'm happy also for you, precious brother and sister. The Lord bless you in a mighty way. Also for you, beloved brother. For you. Yes, for you, beloved brother. You also dedicated your life to God, and you are ready to serve Him and to follow Him.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Brother Schmidt, come and pray for those who want to be baptized. God of heaven, we thank you for the grace. We thank you that you have spoken to us through thy word. And your Spirit, Lord, who revealed it, He revealed it to us, also all those who are standing here now before your throne of grace, not before men,
here,
they're standing before you to testify of a good conscience before men, to walk before you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you revealed your name in which everything happens for the glory of your name. Lord, you yourself, you said, everything what you do with words or deeds, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how you told it to us. And that's how we also want to act in your precious name, doing that as a confirmation of your word that you are still speaking. In your name it shall be done, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Bless you from the riches of your grace all over, in all places. Oh Lord, bless also our brothers and sisters who have said yes and who are giving now testimony. Amen. Amen. Now, we want to give you greetings. The sisters are here. We can remain standing. We were sitting long enough. To our brothers and sisters from South America, we want to give them special greetings. On Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, there will be something very special. And we are just so grateful to God for everything, for all the ways. There's of course a song, All Ways. Jesus is leading me. Praise and thanks, praise and thanks. That's how the song goes. And there's the word, know that the Lord is leading His saints in a wonderful way. From all our countries, from Africa, from all neighboring countries, we give our brothers greetings in Czech Republic, Slovakia, to Poland, Russia, Moldavia. We had a phone call from Litauen, another call from Kiev, and from all over. People are phoning in, brothers and sisters, and they are joined with us and with the Lord. God willing, in September, I will make one of my greatest trips before me. On Wednesday, once again, I start off to the Far East, up to the beginning of the world, there where the day starts every morning at the east coast of Australia. There, next weekend I will be there, and then also in the countries which I will visit along the way. I just take greetings with me from all of us. We are really joined with many on the earth, and we thank God with all our hearts that it is like this. May also all who had part in the transmission may all be blessed. We are always inviting for the first weekend. Please come all, as long as you can make it, as it works out. We appreciate it. May the Lord God bless you all. Now you can sing, and then we will go in the blessing of the Lord. We will complete.
Dort in dem Garten Gethsemane, rang unser Jesus voller Leid und Weh. Blutstropfen fielen, der Kampf war schwer. Die Jünger schliefen, allein war der Herr. Jesus ist Sieger über den Tod. Jesus ist Sieger. Kreuz trug Jesus nach Golgatha, dich zu retten, litt er all da. Und stehst du heute in dunkler Nacht, hör Jesus rufet, es ist schon vollbracht. Jesus ist Sieger über den Tod. Jesus ist Sieger, bricht alle Not. Jesus ist Sieger in Ewigkeit. Für dich hat Jesus den Sieg schon bereit. Weißt du, was heute noch Wunder tut, nur unseres Heilands kostbares Blut. Auch wenn die Hölle und Erde bebt, glaubt dieser Botschaft, dein Jesus erlebt.
Alle zusammen.
Jesus ist Sieger über den Tod. Jesus ist Sieger, bricht alle Not. Jesus ist Sieger in Ewigkeit. Für dich hat Jesus den Sieg schon bereit. Jesus ist Sieger in Ewigkeit. Für dich hat Jesus den Sieg schon bereit.
Amen.
Amen. To this we say Amen. Now we wish all brothers, especially all the ministering brethren in the neighboring countries, especially also Brother Ondrashek, we who are already in the advanced age, we know how to appreciate it, that God always gives new strength, that we can carry His word, and also all our brothers. A special blessing we wish Brother Küpfer. Brother Küpfer, he has always the right, the heart full, and he will be angry with me if I don't call him. But all know what you want to say. Praise and thanks. His heart is really always filled. We spent more than 36 years ago. We experienced many things together. And the ways of the Lord, they are just so wonderful. May I say it in your place, in your state? You have heard the testimony. Sister Küpfer, one day she came to Zurich from Strasbourg. And there, she heard the sermon, and she was so overwhelmed, and she returned. She reported to her husband, and her husband, he had one leg across the other leg, smoking proudly his cigarette, and he said, "Let me in peace." But the Lord didn't let him in peace. At the next time, he was also in Zurich. And then it has happened with him. It was over. Is this not wonderful? Oh, the ways of our Lord. God bless you, Brother Kupfer. Hallelujah. Be praised. Let us sing.
Hallelujah.
And we say, He has blessed us. Amen.